right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this special live broadcast here on KTH 910 AM. We are going to preempt the regular programming for this hour because I was asked a few weeks ago about doing a live remote broadcast on this particular day because this is a day, I bet nobody out there listening knows the significance of this day in light of the guests that we have on. Jacob Niemeyer is executive director and the founder of Vera Aqua Vera Vita. I said it correctly, okay, Jacob, just for the record. And today is Imagine a Day Without Water. Okay, this is a national campaign, and so we are going to do something, and yes, it ties into our faith. Yes, Jacob is a practicing Catholic. Yes, it all has to do with Catholic social teaching, and if people don't have water, gosh, that's like the most basic need that people can possibly have. You may be surprised by some of the statistics that Jacob may be able to share with us as far as, most of us have all the water we need. You know, we could take a 3-hour shower if we want to and drink all the water we want, but that isn't the case for everybody across the world. And we're also going to be challenging you during this hour to participate in a gallon of water a day challenge. I'm going to do that. And that doesn't mean drink a gallon of water. That means use only a gallon of water. So anyways, welcome everybody. Dave Palmer is my name. Cecil Anderson is running the board. The phone number is 877-757-9424. This is a unique topic. Jacob, welcome. How you doing? Thanks for suggesting this.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Dave. I'm really happy to be here. And the idea of imagining a day without water is something that certainly resonates with me and our mission at Vera Aqua Vera Vita, but I would imagine it resonates with many of our listeners here today because we really don't even realize how much water we're using on a daily basis. We flush the toilets, we take showers, and in fact, there's a statistic I just read recently that the average person living in America uses 17.2 gallons of water to take a shower.
Wow, just to take a shower.
Yeah. Every day. Bear in mind, this is every day.
And I know some people that do a whole lot more than that because they take long showers and the heated water. And,
certainly,
we talk about first world problems and, I wish the temperature was 72 outside and it's 78 and I feel uncomfortable. Or I know sometimes I make fun of people because you get in the car and it's summer and, that moment of discomfort that we have. Turn the AC on. We want all of our creature comforts to be satisfied.
And not just satisfied, but satisfied immediately.
Yeah, right. Immediately satisfied. And so I think this is going to be a wake-up call. And again, I'm even going to share some Thomas Aquinas quotes during this week because I'm a big Thomist. I teach the Summa. And he asks in the section on baptism, why is water used as the matter of the sacrament of baptism? So I'll share with that. But anyways, and again, thanks everybody for joining us. I know you're tuning in thinking you're going to hear Women of Grace with Jeanette Benkovic. But just today, this is a special day. Imagine a Day Without Water, October 21st. We'll get to that in a second. But first of all, Jacob Niemeyer, tell me about the story of Vera Aqua Vera Vita. It's on the website, veraaquaveravita.org. And it's about 9 years old now, right?
Yeah, well, actually, so as an organization, we're 3 years old. Just turned three on June.
Oh, that's right. 2011
June
was
of
the,
2017 of this year, we turned 3 years old. And actually, the idea, the inception, of Vera Aqua Vera Vita, so to speak, came about when I was on a mission trip in 2011, a year after the earthquake in Haiti. I was still a student at Purdue University and we were missioning with a student team of missionaries down to, visit a sister parish, in a community called Bodin, Haiti, which is up in the mountains outside of Port-au-Prince. And keep in mind, like I said, a year after the earthquake. And we're driving through the city of Port-au-Prince, and the city is still in ruins. Most of the buildings have been destroyed and were crumbled to the ground. People are living in blue UN tents as far as the eye could see. And for me, I was learning about poverty and the global water crisis and, issues that our world was facing on a global scale. And in my classes, actually, believe it or not, at school at Purdue, we would talk about how do we engineer solutions to some of these world's biggest issues. I was studying environmental and natural resources engineering with a focus on water resources. And so I had some objective background. I probably saw things with a little bit different lens than my fellow missionaries. And we're driving through Port-au-Prince, and I see this woman walk out of her blue UN tent. Like I said, people are living in these things, these emergency shelters, as far as the eye could see. This woman walks out of her tent, walks down to the canal flowing through the city adjacent to the tent farm or tent field that everyone was living in. And she carries this bucket down there, fills that bucket up with water right from the canal, and walks back to her tent. And I kid you not, Dave, this water looked like chocolate milk. It had trash floating in it, animals defecating in it, kids playing in it. Smelled horrible. Upstream of where this lady filled her bucket of water, people were washing their clothes and washing their dishes in it. And that's all stuff that was going to be in her water. And I knew.
Like, and her kids' water.
And her kids' water and everybody else that's drinking that, right?
Yeah.
And I knew, you know, objectively with my background that, you know, that was going to get her sick, if not kill her. And it's something that, like, we don't really think about. We take the luxury of, we just have it. It's on tap. It's right there. We turn on the faucet. It's right there. But these people don't even have the luxury of even having that basic right of clean water. And that was really eye opening for me. And that was a kind of a inspirational moment. The Lord kind of slapped me over the head, if you will. And he said, hey, Jacob, you have a passion for water and engineering and for mission work and serving me. And you have this background and this skill set. You need to do something about this. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I didn't know exactly what that would look like. I came back from that trip realizing that, you know, I kind of felt the call to start my own organization, not just be involved in that issue itself, but to try to take it a different approach to the problem. It, you know, if this is, you know, the thought was running through my mind, if this is existing in the 21st century, in the backyard, if you will, of the United States of America, arguably one of the greatest countries in the world, how can we do something different? I mean, there's clearly organizations that are out here doing work in this sphere, but why is this still persisting as a problem? And so I kind of felt a call to start my own organization so we could be different in what matters. I actually came back from that trip, dropped an engineering elective class that I didn't need, picked up an entrepreneurship course to get a little more of that business experience. And that was really kind of what sent me on that journey. I subsequently went on a water research project trip to Togo, Africa that following summer, and that really solidified where I felt the Lord was calling me. Of course, I realized I also still needed to get some professional engineering experience, graduated from Purdue in 2012, moved to Dallas, got an engineering consulting job, and actually worked in that field until full-time until 2018, and then part-time for about 15 months after I had launched Vera Aqua Vera Vita. And it was during that time when I was working as an engineering consultant that I was developing the idea with Vera Aqua Vera Vita, building relationships with potential board members and volunteers and team members and really growing the idea of what it could look like. And then officially we did incorporate as a nonprofit NGO in June of 2017. And so that's kind of been the story, the history that led to Vera Aqua Vera Vita founding. It was all an inspiration from the Lord.
Yeah. And to think that one lady going down to the river, that water source, and it all starts with a catalyst, you know, that catalyst moment. And the Lord inspired you in pity and mercy for that lady. She has no idea what that little trip down to the water.
I wish I could find her and thank her.
Well, one day in heaven, maybe you'll have a chance to. You know, and I think the amazing thing about what you say is that you mentioned the UN tents, and this seems to be a problem, the solution of which is some big organization, United Nations on the global scale, or, you know, the Catholic Church or Catholic Charities or, you know, whatever. But for you, little old you, a student at Purdue and coming down here to Dallas thinking, me as an individual, I can do something. Of course, there's a lot of people helping you now, but I think that's what's remarkable about this is that you figured, no, I'm going to take it on myself and start something. That's did you ever think like, oh, I'll just
join another initiative.
I don't know if the, some other organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the thought of kind of going at it your own.
Yeah, you get at a really good point. I kind of mentioned this when I was telling the story of Vera Aqua Vera Vita. The thought had crossed my mind is like, you know, I could just go and be a part of another organization that's doing work in this sphere, if you will, of influence and humanitarian aid. Or I could go off and start my own. And what would be the benefits of one or the other? Obviously, the benefit of going and working for an organization that's already established, you know, protocols, established processes. They're, you know, legitimate in nature. You don't have to worry about all the startup and entrepreneurial aspects of it. But the downside, and this is really, for me, was the kicker, and this is what really led to, you know, me feeling that the Lord was indeed calling me to start my own, is realizing and actually diving in and learning about what these other organizations were doing in the global water crisis and how they were trying to tackle it. And like I said, noticing and very, very much witnessing and seeing the statistics proving the fact that what was being done was not working.
Mm-hmm.
What is being done oftentimes is not working. And what I mean by that is a lot of times these big organizations, not because of, you know, I should say their lack of care for the people, mm-hmm. but maybe just because of a lack of understanding of what will really make a difference. Sometimes they come in and oftentimes they come in and they just give a handout.
Yeah.
They don't walk in solidarity. They don't walk in, you know, love with their fellow man as far as educating them, training them, letting them be, letting them feel that person that they're serving, letting them feel that they are capable, showing them that, you know, I believe in you, and putting the power to be the drivers of the future solutions in their own hand. What we like to use at Veracqua Bera Vita is empower. Like,
yeah.
We think that word
dignity,
encompasses, that encompasses all of what I just said. And we like to empower them. And I noticed there's a statistic out there that I later actually found. This was actually after we had actually incorporated Veracqua Bera Vita, but really, again, backed up what I had been learning and seeing prior to Veracqua Bera Vita. And it was in 2004, the Rural Water Supply Network, which is a big nonprofit foundation, international organization, they did an assessment of thousands, I should say, not just a thousand, but thousands of communities across Southeast Asia, Sub-Saharan Africa, and South America, looking at these communities that had clean water and wastewater services implemented by foreign aid NGOs. Of these thousands of communities that they looked at, 40% of the systems that had been put in place were non-functional.
Hmm.
And that's billions of dollars, Dave. Yeah. Like, I'm talking multiple billions of dollars being wasted. And these people have a solution for maybe 2-3 years and then it falls apart and they were never trained or educated to maintain it and they go back to what they were living in before.
Right.
And we're wasting money, we're wasting time, and it's not resulting in any lasting change. And for us, that was really the catalyst that really the Lord was saying, okay, you need to be different in what matters. And that's why I felt the call to start my own organization.
That's amazing. VeraAquaVeraVita.org is the website. Also, TrueWaterVision.com. That's the news site. Jacob Niemeyer joining us, executive director and founder of VeraAqua VeraVita. Their mission, by tapping into the physical and spiritual nature of water, we empower people and communities in developing countries to generate clean water and sanitation solutions that bring true water, true life. And that, of course, is the English translation of VeraAqua VeraVita. I haven't messed it up yet. Every single interview, I mess it up. And Cecil laughs
very
at me
proud
about
of you,
this,
Dave.
Too. So, well, the interview was young, so we still got 47 minutes for me to mess it up. So let's see. All right. And we're going to ask you to join in on an imagine a day without water. Actually, imagine a day with a gallon of water is what we're going to ask you. 10 people is our goal for this hour to call in. We'll tell you more details about that. You can write down the phone number, 877-757-9424. I'm going to do it myself and just have to pick a day to do it. But you'd mentioned Haiti and your trip down there, and I know you do work in Peru. Haiti generally is considered the poorest nation in the world, I think.
Actually a misnomer. So it's the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere.
Oh, okay.
As far as in the world, it's I believe it's in the top five. All the other poorest nations are in sub-Saharan Africa.
So give us an idea. You don't have to give, you know, exact statistics. What parts of the world are in really bad shape when it comes to water? What are the main countries that really need assistance? Any statistics of how many people don't get the water they need every day?
Well, yeah, let's start with the statistics. So 847 million to 1 billion, depending on where you get your statistics from, the people in the world. So about 1/10 of the world's population to 1/7 of the world's population, like I said, depending on where you get your statistics, don't have access to a reliable source of water. What does a reliable source of water mean? That means they don't have access to a water source that's either nearby, so they have to walk 5-6 kilometers sometimes to get it, or they don't have access to a water source that's clean. Oftentimes it's both, Dave. So oftentimes their water source is, 5 kilometers away. They have to walk round trip 5 kilometers, I should say, every day. Not 5 kilometers away, but 2.5, 5 kilometers total. This is a pretty average distance that a lot of people in these developing countries are walking, and they're getting a water source that's not even clean to begin with. So that's a statistic that honestly for us is atrocious that that's even a statistic in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have so much, abundance of wealth, as you would think, in our world. Another statistic that I think really solidifies the importance of our mission is that there are 1.8 billion people, or up to 2 billion people. I actually recently just saw World Health Organization update their statistics indicating that 1.8 billion to 2 billion people drink a water source that's contaminated by feces.
Mm, wow, that's horrible. And again, that's not something that we even think about. So, 10% of the world population is not getting adequate. Now, in that doesn't mean America, we'd probably be in the top 10%. Most everybody sure. In water. There are probably some people. We had the issue in Flint. I don't know if you
would
talk about that.
New Mexico, the Navajo tribes in New Mexico, the Appalachian Mountains are both areas in the U.S. that are water stressed.
Oh yeah. Let me ask you just a basic question about, the water that comes out of our tap, what is the process of getting that water suitable? Cause I think you would say it may not be perfect for drinking water, but for the most part, could we drink tap water and it'd be okay in most cases? What happens? What is the process to get that water to the point, in where I live in Bedford, Texas, to being drinkable?
Yeah, absolutely. It is drinkable for 99.9% of the situations that you're going to have tap water available. Now, the way it gets to your tap, there's a long process to get clean water to your tap. The first step is extraction from your source water. So oftentimes, at least here in Texas, we'll just speak to the specific Texas example, our source waters are surface reservoirs. So we're talking in Bedford, you guys might get your water from Lake Louisville. I'm not 100% certain.
Okay.
That's the source water. It's pumped out of the source water through piping to the water treatment facility. Oftentimes over long distances of land, if there's, a great distance between the source and the treatment facility, oftentimes that is not the case, but sometimes it is, I should say. It gets cleaned at this treatment facility. It goes through a multiple stage process. We can get into the technical engineering, but just to summarize, it goes through general screening. So it's called a bar screen. It gets all the big nasty stuff out of the water. It goes through basic filtration, disinfection. Filtration, settling, disinfection, and then back into clean water piping that goes then to your places of residence, office spaces, mm-hmm. multifamily residence, so on and so forth.
Yeah, okay. And then from that treatment center, it goes straight into the pipeline into the house, right?
Correct.
So it's really from
public lines into the plumbing for the houses. Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
And that's what, to some degree, you're trying to set up in some of these countries like Peru where you've been visiting. So,
yes.
I used to live in Midland, and there aren't a lot of water sources in Midland, so they have to bring it in from an even further place.
So Midland probably is doing a lot of groundwater.
Okay.
I know that if I'm not mistaken, Midland is on the Ogallala Aquifer.
Okay.
Which is one of the largest aquifers in the country, actually. It stretches all the way up into Kansas. I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong.
All right. Jacob Niemeyer is my guest. I love this interesting topic. This is not something we talk about a lot, but when you talk about even in our sacramental system, the most basic source for our sacraments. Our very salvation is dependent upon water. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you think about it, because if you baptize somebody with Coca-Cola or motor oil, it doesn't count. God even said you have to have water. I mean, you got to use it. And so our very salvation, now we know there are some other extraordinary means of being baptized, baptized into desire, but that's a little outside the realm of this conversation. And if you have any questions, very interesting topic. I'm already getting emails. One person says, I want him to come speak to our group.
Awesome. I'd love to.
I'll tell you more about that email in a second. 877-757-9424. Let's talk about Imagine a Day Without Water, which is October 21st. Any history or background of this?
Yeah, as far as the history of background about this day, it is a national initiative. I don't know exactly when it got started and what the intent was behind October 21st being the day, but it is a national initiative put on by a number of large municipalities. So a municipality is, you know, a city's utility agency arm that manages all the infrastructure of the water and wastewater in the city. It's been put on, organized by that group plus a group called One Water Alliance, which is a national conglomeration, kind of, you can think of it like a professional organization bringing together different players in the water industry in the United States of America. We're talking about large municipalities, but we're also talking about big manufacturers that produce treatment facility products, filters and technologies that are used to, you know, treat our water and transmission and convey it to people's houses and residences and office buildings and such, restaurants and so on. And so it's a conglomeration of all those. They put together this mission. The whole purpose behind Imagine a Day Without Water is to really spread awareness about the issues that nationally we're facing when it comes to our water, and this ignorance, honestly, that people have about how water, is this it won't go away. It's limitless.
Limitless supply, right?
Limitless supply, yeah. But it's not true, actually.
Okay.
And there's a huge deficit as far as investment in water infrastructure in the United States of America, that they're trying to get awareness out about how important water is and to get people to think more about how they use water and to not take it for granted and to realize it is not a limitless supply and that we should not take it for granted and we need to invest more money in infrastructure and investment in maintaining our water systems. Otherwise, we're going to be in a situation where these systems will begin to fall in disrepair, i.e. Flint, Michigan is a good example. Other places in the country where there's 10 to 15% of the water is leaked out during the piping process. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of water loss because we're not investing enough. We don't value our water enough. So the whole hashtag behind Imagine a Day Without Water is hashtag value water. Mm-hmm. We need to value water more. And so we're actually, as Vera Aqua Vita, we're piggybacking off of this national movement to really raise the bar a little bit even higher to spread more awareness about not just the national issue, right, but the global issue, and which is even more grave in these developing countries. And you asked me a question earlier about which countries, which parts of the world are most impacted by this global water crisis. And it's countries in sub-Saharan Africa, and sub-Saharan Africa is anything below the Sahara Desert in Africa, kind of Central Africa, not all the way to the south, but some of Southern Africa, and then Southeast Asia, and then a number of countries in Central and South America, Peru being one of those that are just struggling to get the access to clean water. And so we're trying to raise conversation, raise the bar, if you will, to get people to think not just about our water here, but to think about what's going on in these developing countries around the world.
Mm-hmm. Imagine a day without water, because to imagine doesn't really call you to do anything. It's just like, okay, I just imagined it, and I'm done. I don't think that's what you have in mind, right? Because mm-hmm. imagine is an abstract. It's not, you're actually not doing anything. You also have either begun, I guess something about this, the solidarity where people, you ask people to go on a gallon of water a day. All right. And as I think about that, I'm thinking, okay, I could drink a gallon of water a day, and that wouldn't be that big of a deal. That's, you know, but you're not talking about just drinking water. You're talking about using only a gallon. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? Does that mean the gallon, the water in the dishwasher and the yard? What exactly does it mean to only use a gallon of water?
Yeah. So I think first and foremost, it's important to understand why we would want to even challenge people to do that in the first place. The why is always very important to understand, because it tells us the basic meaning and what the purpose behind this initiative is. And for us, the why with the solidarity challenge is very simple. It's to take into our own reality this understanding of what it looks like to live on a gallon of water, which billions of people around the world oftentimes are struggling to survive on a gallon of water every day.
Mm-hmm.
And something that we take for granted. So one, not only does it open our eyes to the challenges that we're facing, but it puts us in solidarity with those people, which is a beautiful thing. As, you know, as Catholics, we especially appreciate that concept of solidarity, because it's something that we're called to in Catholic social teaching, to walk in the shoes and walk with, in solidarity, those that are struggling. And that's an act of mercy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a corporal work of mercy. And you know, in this way, it's a little bit indirect. It opens our eyes to the challenges that these that are less fortunate brothers and sisters in developing countries may be facing every day. But it also gives us a greater awareness and understanding of the value of water in our own lives.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will lead to us being more cognizant of where we're using water and how we're using water. As far as to where, what the water can be used for, I mean, anything and everything that you can think of, you wouldn't use just a gallon of water for all of those needs. So I wouldn't recommend, the only one I would not recommend you try to just use a gallon of water for is flushing a toilet. So, you know, please flush your toilets. But everything else, drinking, cooking, showering, brushing your teeth, washing your hands, watering the yard, doing your dishes, doing your laundry,
coffee.
Absolutely. Anything and everything that you use water for every day, minus, like I said, flushing a toilet, the challenge is to use only 1 gallon of water for all of those needs in a single day.
Mm-hmm.
And to really realize how hard that is for one.
Yeah.
And gain a greater appreciation of it as the value of water in your own life. And also recognize that, wow, like if this is what people in developing countries are having to live on every day, then maybe I need to do something about this. Hopefully it'll inspire action, not just give you awareness. And that's the hope.
And it'd be easy to do, because you go get a gallon jug that maybe you had milk in, fill it up, and when you wake up in the morning, that's all you got. So you can use some for your coffee. You can drink some. I know you we're going to talk about this plastic bottle water, because I drink probably about 7 or 8 of these a day, and that's probably over a gallon just for what I drink in water, not to mention cooking and coffee and everything else. All right. I want to take up the challenge. I'm going to say in the next week, I'm going to do it. Okay. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow, but in the next week, and I want to invite 10 people who are listening right now. If you want to do it, if you don't want to, no problem. I mean, and there's probably some people that shouldn't do it, right? If they're compromised health issues, you know, so, and like you said, flush the toilet. But if you feel like you're healthy enough and you want to do it and you want to let us know you're doing it, then maybe 10 people can join us in the a day with a gallon of water. You can call up and you can just tell Cicel you're going to do it. Or you can get on the air and talk about your plans. 877-757-9424. 877-757-9424. I have often heard that a person can go without food for about 40 days and without water only for about 7 is, do you know that? How long? I mean, we can go without water for a day. We're not, it's not going to kill us, right?
Drinking, you mean?
Drinking water. But after, you know, 5, 6, 7 days, we would literally die, right?
Absolutely. And actually sometimes sooner, depending on how dry your climate is. 3 to 7 days is an oftentimes the range there. If you live in, for instance, in a desert, you probably need to drink water faster and more often because, you know, it's naturally dry. You're going to evaporate more. You're going to lose more.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done
the gallon water challenge?
I have multiple times.
Okay.
And actually, one of the things that we also want to try to encourage, with it, and I've done this multiple times, every time, I've done it, is create a video. Short little 60-second video.
But not of your shower.
No, don't do it while you're
showering. You won't be taking a shower because you're going to get your
pretty
shower
much,
with a gallon. Yeah, right.
And show, or, you know, yourself either at the beginning of the day or the end of the day or both, sharing about what you're expecting from the experience or how the experience went for you, and just share your thoughts on, wow, like that was really challenging to live on. You know, a gallon of water per day. This is what I learned. This is what I gained a greater appreciation for. This is, wow, I really value water in this way that I never realized before. And share that. Share your own personal testimony. Make it real. Make it personal. And we encourage, you know, everyone that's participating to do that, to create their own little video. And then share that on their social media channels. Share that with their friends and family as if they can. Or simply if they want to just send it to us here at Veracqua Vera Vida. We'd love to get those videos and then be able to post those on our YouTube channel and inspire others to think about the value of water and to participate in the solidarity challenge in the future.
Yeah. Getting a few texts from people saying, oh, I don't know, I'm, you know, this and that, but so far nobody's called. So, you know, but what it's helped me to do, and by the way, Jacob Niemeyer joining us, he is the founder and the executive director of Veracqua Vera Vita. You can go to veracquaveravita.org and find out more about them. Also, truewatervision.com. It's a little easier when they're English words to get
there. Yeah, and actually, if you want to get to our corporate website, veracquaveravita.org. You can also go to givetruewater.org.
Okay, givetruewater.org.
And True Water Vision is our news site. And so that's one of the ways you can also connect with us outside of just the overall corporate side of Veracqua Vera Vida. You can just follow us on our news and editorial publications, which we're starting to do more of nowadays.
Yeah. And the thing that it's causing me to do is I'm going back through my day now and I'm realizing the water that I did use. I drink a lot of coffee in the morning. You said the average American uses what, over 17 gallons of water
just
for the shower. Yeah. I take pretty quick showers, so I don't think I use that much, but I probably at least, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 gallons of water just for shower. And I drink water, you know, voraciously. And so this is really, really, and also I think the response also needs to be thank you, God, because God, it shows us our dependence on God, on the natural resources that God provides for us. All right. We want a few people to join us. All you got to do is say, yeah, I'm in. I'll do it in the next week. Of course, if you're healthy enough to do this, you live on none of us needs to shower every day. It's a nice convenience, but skip the shower. Maybe you don't have to.
If you need to wet your hair down, just lean over the sink and pour a little bit of water. That's what I usually have to do when I do the gallon challenge.
Brushing your teeth. Yeah. I mean, think about this. And we don't recommend you not brush your teeth. 877-757-9424. 877-757-9424. Let's see.
Dave, why texts and emails are coming in, I think you hit on a really important point that I want to highlight about this idea of the value of water.
Yeah.
We have to look no further than Genesis 1:2 when it says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the water.
Yeah.
To realize how important water is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it didn't even say God created the water, right? I mean, we know he did. We know intellectually he did, logically that he created it, but it shows us, I think that's scripture and inspired scripture trying to tell us that the value of water goes all the way back to the beginning of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that obviously is very fundamental in our relationship with God, with the with the sacrament of baptism. Yeah. So I just think it's a very beautiful thing, and we need to recognize that we are called to be stewards, not just of this earth in general, but specifically of resources that God has given us as gifts, water being one of those most important resources in our lives.
It's also a fast, because, you know, it's funny, when people often do fast, the one thing that they don't give up, and for obvious reasons, is water. You know, I sometimes do water fasts where I one time I did a 5-day water fast, nothing but water for 5 days. But the one thing I couldn't give up was the water, and that just highlights how very important it is. All right, so I won't keep haranguing people about this. I'll give out the phone number a few more times if you want to join us, and just say in the next week you will live one 24-hour period on a gallon of water. And keep in mind the people like Jacob is saying that have to do this on a day-to-day basis. 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. I do want to pivot a little bit and talk about your work. I know it's been disrupted a little bit because of COVID-19 and you're not able to travel internationally and all that. Remind our listeners about the work you've already done in Peru, how it is right now, and maybe what the plans are going forward and into next year.
Yeah, so in 2019, August 3rd specifically, we turned on the water for a small water treatment facility in Monte Castillo, Peru, which is now providing access, and has been since that date, providing access to clean water for 7,000 people in that community. That was our first project. We had started it actually even before we were incorporated as an organization, going back all the way to 2015 when we began initial interactions with the community, some data collection and engagement with them, and it ultimately culminated in us turning on the water, and like I said, on August 3rd of last year. And now we are moving forward and wrapping up phase two. So that was phase one of our work in Monte Castillo. Phase two of our work in Monte Castillo, which is sanitary sewer system improvements. We're currently right now funding some emergency repair work to the system, and they're repairing 18 manholes that are in need of repair on verge of collapse. And the reason why, obviously we've got to go back to the why we're doing this. The reason why we're focusing also on not just their clean water, but also on their wastewater, is because specifically in Monte Castillo, they were getting these households, about 40 to 60% of the households are getting running water every other day to their houses. It's not clean. They can't drink it. It's contaminated. It has salt in it. But they use it for, gray water uses like flushing a toilet. But when they were getting that water, they would flush those that had toilets would flush their toilets, and the sewer system was in grave disrepair, and sewage was getting blocked up in the pipes and backing up into the streets and into people's houses. Raw sewage.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
And so obviously a grave issue, environmental and health issue. So we put some emphasis on, we need to get this fixed. We need to lay some groundwork to establish a trajectory of change in this community. And so we completed a wastewater system master plan, which is a overall technically, in a technical sense, a document that explains recommended improvements for their system and recommended inspection and ongoing maintenance. And we've completed that. We're now in the process of doing a full translation of that, and that's going to be a final deliverable we're going to give to the community that they can use as an actionable document going forward, in addition to doing some currently right now emergency immediate repair work to their system. We're now also then turning our trajectory away from this first community that we've ever served as an organization, Monte Castillo, to 7 new communities in the Piura region of Peru. And we've actually been working in the last couple of months with the Piura regional government, and specifically an agency within that government that engages with international organizations. That's their agency is tasked with international cooperation. And so we're coordinating with them to serve 7 new communities that we've shortlisted in the Piura region of Peru that are in need of clean water services. And in 2 weeks from a week from this coming Monday, we're going to be beginning assessments of these seven new communities, and we're going to be building out, collecting data and then building out a prioritized list of communities to serve based on objective criteria, that we're evaluating from the data we're collecting. And we're going to serve all seven of these communities, but we're going to start with the one that kind of is the highest on the list that meets, you know, all of these most objectively important criteria. We're looking specifically at the categories of chance of project success and chance of project impact. Hmm. And there's a bunch of criteria under that that we're looking at. And hopefully, God willing, by the end of the year, we'll have begun serving the first of these seven communities. And then we'll have a short list and a prioritized order of six other communities to serve over the coming months and years ahead. Now, you mentioned something about international travel having an impact on us and not being able to get to Peru where we're working. And that has been very negative for us as an organization, unable to get to the people that we're trying to serve. And one of the ways that we've been trying to get around that is working very closely with our partners on the ground. As of June 30th of this year, they lifted COVID restrictions in Peru, allowing most day-to-day operations to return to normal. And so that's really was the point which after COVID, you know, restrictions were put in place, we were actually able to start getting back to engaging with our partners on the ground and moving forward with some of the work that I've already mentioned. But during or prior to June 30th, we were able to do very little, and we tried our best to continue to move the ball forward with some of our engagements there in the Piura region. We were able to actually do some emergency aid relief for COVID. We provided some face masks, hand washing station kits, and hand soap to the community of Monte Castillo. And we also at the same time took that time to develop a lot of tools and information that we're developing internally as an organization to help grow our mission and our programs. One of those is our WASH, water sanitation and hygiene is what WASH stands for, education curriculum, which we're now hoping to implement coming up on an upcoming mission trip, December 15th through the 23rd. Of this year, which was rescheduled from May of this year due to COVID, and mm-hmm. we had to cancel that trip and reschedule to December here. And God willing, restrictions will be fully lifted in Peru for international travel, and we'll be able to travel there in December. Right now, restrictions have been lifted to allow international travel into and out of the country, but upon arrival in Peru, they're requiring a minimum of a 2-week quarantine before doing anything else. And so obviously that doesn't work with a 9-day mission mm-hmm. trip. So yeah. we're hoping
it's been and, a whole time.
Correct. We're hoping and praying that, that they lift that restriction and we're able to do our mission trip. So
yeah. I was thinking, speaking of mission trips, it's amazing to me to think that this all started because of a mission trip that you took, nine years ago, with your group from Purdue. And at that time, I guess the goal was to bring spiritual needs to this community. And, you know, in our church, we have the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy.
We were actually doing both.
Oh, you were? Okay. You were just helping them as well. Mm-hmm. I mentioned in your mission statement, you talk about the spiritual nature of water. And it may just, what do you mean by that? The spiritual nature of water?
Yeah. And, it's a great question. I think I kind of hinted at it a little bit with the reference to Genesis 1, 2, but also for us as an organization, we are very much inspired by one scripture passage specifically. It's John 4:10, where Jesus says to the woman at the well, "If you knew the gift that God has for you and who it is who asks you for a drink, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water."
Yeah. So many things in the Bible happen at water wells.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, water flowing from the side of the temple and giving life to all of the land adjacent to that river that it then forms.
Yeah. Water flowed out of Jesus' side.
Water flowed out of Jesus' side when he was pierced with the lance at the cross.
And
absolutely.
When Moses hit the rock, right?
Yeah. Wow. So many references to water, right?
The parting the Red Sea. Yeah. The flood. I mean, yeah.
So once again, do we value water physically is one question, but do we also value water in its spiritual sense is another question we can ask ourselves. And more specifically, the, not just the symbolism, but the actual reality that water is a means of salvific, proportions in the salvation that we receive through baptism in water. And it's, it, for us, it, you know, Jesus is the living water. And so we don't want to just bring physical water to the people we're serving, but we want to bring the living water of Jesus Christ. We want to see the whole person thrive, not just in their body, but also in their soul, right? And we want to do that through the lens. We actually are going to do that. And we are developing an education curriculum, theology of the body. Actually very close to having that done here in the next month or two. That is going to be used in conjunction with our WASH, water sanitation and hygiene education. So the physical water sanitation and hygiene components of water and the spiritual nature of water in the theology of the body through the theology of the body lens and this idea of the body and the soul being connected, we are incarnate, we are composite in nature, not distinct entities, and recognizing that we don't need just the physical water, but we also need the living water of Jesus Christ, and really highlighting that as one of the things that I think is the spiritual nature of water, that we oftentimes in this world, even as faithful Catholics, we take for granted. I personally take every chance I can to soak up, pun intended, all the references to water that are in scripture and in our liturgies, particularly at the Easter Vigil liturgy. I encourage each of you all that are listening to this, next time you go to your Easter Vigil Mass and, you know, God willing, this coming spring, pay attention to all the references to water. It's going to be amazing. And to me, that's like my most, that's my, my favorite Mass of the year is the Easter Vigil. It's just such a beautiful Mass in many, for many reasons, but particularly with my love for water, it just like really resonates with me.
You know, we could go in so many directions with this. I think about how much fun water is. I mean, I know water can be destructive, but you know, we are in the case right now. We have a water sprinkler system in our backyard. And these days, I'll come home and I'll turn the water sprinkler on in the backyard, and my son will run around, and he's entertained. He says, you know, think about places like Hurricane Harbor. What is this? You're playing in water, right? The pool, the the sprinkler system. I mean, water is really important. If, not that I have to convince you of that, but I love how you tie it into the liturgy as well. My guest is Jacob Niemeyer, Executive Director and Founder of Vera Aqua Vera Vita. Go to veraaquaveravita.org and find out more about their mission, and I'll ask them in a second how you can help them financially, volunteering. Also, givetruewater.org is maybe a little bit easier for you to remember as well. If you want to join in on the Gallon of Water a Day Challenge, you can call us 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. Phones haven't been exactly ringing off the hook. I know that that's tough. I'm thinking like, gosh, a gallon of water, but it'll really make you appreciate water and also appreciate God and the bountiful, the way that he just pours out, pun intended, his graces upon us and physically and materially as well. All right, St. Thomas Aquinas says, well, whether water is the proper matter of baptism. You know, why do we have to be baptized with water? Why not just, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why do we have to use some kind of matter? He says, by divine institution, water is the proper matter of baptism, and with reason. First, by reason of the very nature of baptism, which is a regeneration and a spiritual life. And this answers to the nature of water in a special degree, wherefore seeds from which all living things, plants and animals are generated, are moist and akin to water. They require it, right? He goes down the fourth reason, because by being so universal and abundant, it is a matter suitable to our need in this sacrament, for it can be easily obtained everywhere. All right. So the plentifulness of water in such a necessary sacrament, he said, if we're going to use some kind of liquid or some kind of something, it's going to be the thing that's most plentiful. Of course, not plentiful enough, because to your point, 10% of the people in the world don't have access to it. All right, so how we got about 8 minutes to go. Do you want to talk? I just want to open it up. Whatever you think that our listeners need to know about maybe your needs, your mission, how they can help, volunteers, job openings, a night at the speakeasy. Is that, is there going to be one coming up? Or tell us anything.
Yeah, so I would love to share with everyone who's listening ways that you can get involved with Veracqua Veravita. There are really three key means of engagement with our organization. The first and foremost of these is, of course, donations. We are a nonprofit entity. We exist and we thrive only because of the generosity of people that donate to our organization. And it's not so much us that's thriving, but it's our mission, and our mission is serving. And so we want to help the people that we're serving to thrive, to go from simply surviving to ultimately thriving as God intended them to, with this access to basic resources of water and exposure to the living water of Jesus Christ, whether that be indirect or direct through our mission. So donate to Veracqua Veravita is really the primary way that we would encourage you to get involved. You can also get involved with your time. So there's, you know, of course, material donation of treasure, but there's also donation of time. Yeah, and that's arguably more valuable for many, many people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And probably many of you listening on this call, time is probably your most valuable resource. If you're anything like me, I know it is for myself. And so there's many ways to engage with us in the volunteering of your time. We have on our website, you can go to the Get Involved page, and there's a Join Our Contact List, Get Involved tab, Join Our Contact List under, or not Join Our Contact, Join Our Team, I should say, misspeak. Join Our Team, and from there, you can see all the ways to get involved with Veracqua Veravita. We are looking for people to help us out with marketing and communications, business administration, translation, you know, because we work in Peru, so English to Spanish, Spanish to English translations. Also looking for people to help us on a more, so those are more long-term opportunities, but also short-term stuff like being a part of our planning for our annual fundraiser event. So we have a committee that helps plan this annual fundraiser event, which I'll talk about in just a minute. And then finally, I think the third way, and arguably probably the easiest, but also maybe the most important way to get involved with Veracqua Veravita is to pray with us and to pray for us and the mission and pray for the people that we're serving by joining our Fountains of Prayer program, signing up to be a prayer warrior and praying for the specific intentions of the people we're serving in developing countries. And we have on our website, you can find that under the Get Involved tab as well.
Yeah, speaking of the website, I was there earlier today, veraaquaveravita.org, and there was a picture of a smiling little girl, and she had joy in her face. And of course, I think most people realize that sometimes the people who live in the third world nations are more joyful than those of us who have all of our creature comforts filled. But I just realized that, you know, if we want her to come to know and be in relationship with God, the physical needs really have to come first in a sense. You know, you can't do an apologetics lesson with somebody who hasn't had water in 3 days because they're, you know, they're going to be literally parched. They can't. And so these physical needs have to be met first. But I just wanted to ask you maybe if you could give a couple of stories of people that you have met, people that you've experienced, the gratitude that you've experienced when you and your team are there, or maybe emails, or I don't know, however they're communicating with you. Stories of the blessings of the work that you do.
Yeah, so there's been indirect and direct blessings that we've personally experienced as an organization, and that I have personally experienced myself in the few short years we've existed in serving these people in Peru. And one of the primary ones that I can think of is when we turned on the water in August of last year. And just to see the joy, so this is a more of an indirect one, right? But to see the joy on these people's faces, the women, the children, and men's faces when the water was flowing out of the tap, it was clean. There was so much excitement and joy around this new source of life, right? That, if you will, that they were going to be able to benefit from. And we actually have a video on our YouTube channel that really highlights that. I would encourage people to check us out on our YouTube channel at Veracqua Vera Vida. You can see that joy and see that indirect blessing. As far as a direct blessing, a lot of our partners, specifically I want to think of two people. One of them is, her name is Alcira. She's been our partner with the Monte Castillo Project and our champion, if you will, in the community from day one. And she has really, on multiple occasions, been very direct in expressing her gratitude on behalf of all of her people in the community of Monte Castillo for our engagement in serving them. And it's just a joy to see that. Obviously, this is not why we do it. We don't do it to get someone to say thank you. We do it out of love regardless. But it is a beautiful reminder that, wow, when we really do something well and we do it out of love, people are grateful for it. And when we get that expression in direct ways like she's given us. And then also there's another lady in Monte Castillo who's helped us out with the wastewater initiatives that we've done. And she's been on multiple occasions. She's said how grateful she is for us and helping and loving her people. And which is really cool to say, like, her people, like she says, my people, you know, 'cause for us, it's, you know, there are people too.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing to like hear her say that, like, we are now like part of that, their people. Yeah. So it's just a really beautiful thing there. And what I would encourage people to do, if you want to hear more about these stories and to stay in touch with Veracqua Vera Vida, beyond maybe just the three ways of getting engaged that I mentioned earlier, I would encourage you to join our contact list, which you can do. Just visit the website. As soon as you get there, givetruewater.org or veracquaveravida.org, a pop-up will come up. You can subscribe to our contact list, or we can do so at the bottom of every page. There's a sign-up form, or you can go to the Join Our Contact List tab, which is in the footer of our website, and sign up. And also you can follow us all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. And we also have a growing YouTube channel with over 1,000 subscribers and a number of amazing YouTube videos that really tell and highlight the story of what we're doing and the people we're serving.
All right. Jacob Niemeyer joining us. Final couple minutes here. Executive Director and Founder of Veracqua Vera Vita, and put a .org at the end of that, or givetruewater.org as well. If you want to get to go to their news site, it's truewatervision.com. And I just wanted to spend the last minute or so just recapping this day, October 21st, Imagine a Day Without Water. For those who were not here with us at the beginning of the program, just give a quick recap of what that is and how people can not celebrate this day, but commemorate it.
Yeah. So this whole day, the whole why of this day is to give us a greater appreciation for water, to help us hashtag value water as it should be valued. And one of the things that we want to do, and that the initiative Imagine a Day Without Water is trying to do, is to just raise awareness about this issue of how important water is. And we're specifically at Veracqua Vera Vida trying to raise the conversation about the global water crisis. And one of the ways to kind of recap, like you said, Dave, that we would challenge people to be a part of that conversation is to participate in our Solidarity Gallon Challenge, to live on 1 gallon of water for a full 24 hours and to see what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Not just imagine it in the ethereal sense, but to actually live it for a day and see what that reality is, and realize that many of our brothers and sisters
and you will appreciate water a whole lot more after you do that. So I think this brings us to an end of the hour. It's been a great hour. You're such a great guest, Jacob, and so easy to speak to. We didn't even get to bottled water and why I shouldn't drink it. We didn't go into a lot about the Flint, Michigan crisis, which I thought would be interesting. We'll have to do this again sometime. I do appreciate you suggesting this interview, and I just want to close out by, of course, thanking Jacob. And I just think it's inspiring when somebody gets an inspiration and they go with it, because there's always 1,000 reasons not to do it, or, you know, somebody will also take care of it. But all of us you know, can, there's some purpose why God put us here, and there's some way we can help our fellow man. And I just love to hear stories like Jacob's, where he said, you know what, I think God's leading me to do this, and now there's a whole lot of people helping him as well. If you want to support him in any of those three ways he mentioned, go to their website, givetruewater.org, veraaquaveravita.org. Truewatervision.com is the new site. And thank you for listening. And I did have the email from my friend Chuck, and he wants you to come speak, so I'll connect you, and I'm sure you'll go out and speak to local organizations around here as well, right?
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me, Dave.
Yeah, great program. Thank you also, Cecil Anderson, and thank you for listening. God bless you, and thank you for your support of great apostolates like this, and also of the Guadalupe Radio Network. Have a great rest of your day.